This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop.
We got JP Bobby Carpenter. Pimping the product in the background. I like it.
He switched up the background.
Like it.
It actually looks pretty clean, considering that you don't have a green screen behind you. It's remarkable. It's remarkable technology.
Did Valdez bring the cardboard that they put in that they put in the window every single day before the show starts? Did he drop it off at your house?
No, I actually had Dar take a picture, and okay. He sent me the picture, and then I cropped it.
Uh-huh.
And there you go. Figure might as well pimp the product.
It looks like you're sitting in the green room.
I know that we've said it a million times, but I can't get it out of my head that Cakes looks like he's sitting in front of the casting couch. There's just no way to get this out of my head.
It's just a regular couch. It's just like the couch behind you. I don't see.
It's not.
Casting couch, is it dark? Is it like dark blue?
Are you suggesting you've never seen the casting couch before?
I may have seen a thumbnail.
What are you suggesting, Cakes?
I never got into the casting couch
genre.
I'm with you, Cakes. I've watched a ton, EB, out there, but I just never click on casting couch.
Was it a black leather couch?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, you can't tell that's blue. It's iconic. Yeah.
It looks black to me.
It's iconic. It's like Mount Rushmore.
Cakes, I'm not the only guy. I'm stunned that you're not familiar with it. Drabby.
No, I understand
the
concept.
Am I crazy? No, I understand. No, I'm not talking about the concept. I'm talking about the image.
Yeah.
I don't really think of the casting couch when I see it, but... You know, that might
when I mention it, do you see the...
Of course.
Right.
Yes. Cakes has an outdated black
leather couch. Oh, it's very outdated.
Right. It's like from the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That style's not really in, but...
You know what? I need to squirrel away the nuts.
We all do.
Squirrel them away.
I get it.
The last thing I'm doing is looking at this couch and saying, man, that's outdated. I need to upgrade.
I just don't understand how you two perverts don't really understand the reference in terms of, like, the image. Like, you don't know what I'm talking about.
$5,000. I need to show them what you look like when you're actually acting.
Yeah. Are you telling me you've never clicked on
the reference.
That?
I've never clicked on
that thumbnail?
And by the way, I don't think me having the perv beard / goatee sitting in front of me is helping matters.
Yeah, you look like Tommy Gunn.
Right. Put it this way. Lurch knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I do. It's been a while, though. It's been a while since I logged on to that.
Right.
I wouldn't even know where to find that. What's that guy's name?
Oh, I forget.
I don't know. Former Junkies guest, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Hold on. Yeah. He was on the show?
Yeah.
Remember. I discovered him. I'm the first guy in the country to discover him. I can't remember, though. What is his name? Eric?
It might even be. That might be the Net Video Girls guy, though. Because we had both of them on. That was a phase.
That was the guy, too. When the girls went in there for the calendar
Heavy
audition.
Porn bookings.
Yeah.
They went in there for the calendar audition, and then they got the ropey-dope.
Yeah, that guy was big on belt buckles.
Bickle believed that it was all real. I mean, come on.
Some of the casting
Those were the glory days.
Very convincing.
Early on.
Those were the best actresses, I'm assuming.
Well, it was awesome because we got free passwords.
Right. No, hold on. The guy from this is terrible. The guy from the that video girls that Valdez is talking about, he was big into, remember that Rolling Stone writer that we had, Neil Strauss?
Yeah.
His whole thing was into, like, what are they, the pickup lines. No, yeah, but beyond peacocking.
The pickup artist.
But the pickup techniques.
Right.
You know, like rubbing her cheek.
Like touching her face.
Right.
And then, like, putting her down and then complimenting her right away. Something
right,
like
right.
that.
Right.
And being very suggestive and creepy.
That's all based on those pickup, it's my understanding anyway, based on the pickup artist bit. Does that even still exist?
Oh, yeah.
Is that still a thing? Like, there are pickup artists?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Net Video Girl.
Yeah.
No.
That still exists.
Right. But is there, like a Reddit subgroup of pickup artists and, you know, prior to the pandemic and all that? Because I think that's what Neil Strauss was into. He was into all that stuff.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Someone's texting. His name was Rick.
Rick.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Sounds right. Yeah. I think he had a shark bite, too.
Yeah, he's got like a vicious scar.
What?
Yeah, he has
that
a shark bite.
Like
he has a shark bite
shark
on his torso.
Cakes, when you see it, you would know. Yeah. You clearly haven't seen it.
I told you I hadn't seen it. Yeah, yeah. See, I'm aware of it. I just, like, I've never clicked on a fake taxi either. I've seen it.
I've seen that.
Yeah, but how have you not seen the thumbnail? You've at least
I've seen the thumbnail. It's my
point. That's all you need to know.
Okay, well, I've never. You used to actually talk about the interviews.
Well, I've watched them. I admit to it. Unlike you.
I mean, the interviews were so in-depth. They were Stern level.
What percentage of those girls were considered, you know, cute to hot?
20?
Well, that's the great part about it. Is
they
that,
look like regular girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It looks so real.
What percentage of the real world is hot?
Very small.
10%?
Yeah. What'd you say? 10%?
10? Oh, I think
I don't know. If you 1 out of 10...
I mean, hot is a...
No way. There's no way you go... The first 10 girls you see today, there's no chance one of them's hot.
Hot is a stretch.
Right.
Hot is a stretch. That's a really... like.
It might be 1 in 50.
That's a big term.
Yeah. All right, I'll go with attractive 1 out of 10.
All right, that's different.
No, there's more than 1 out of 10 are attractive. Now you just said they're unattractive.
Oh, God.
Attractive. There's an in-between, hot and attractive.
This is very unscientific, this whole discussion.
Hold on. There's more than 1 in 10 that are attractive.
Yeah, I'll go more than 1 in 10, but certainly not hot 1 in 10.
Yeah, I mean, attractive, I would say 4 out of 10, maybe,
yeah,
attractive. Yeah. For guys, of course, we're all attractive. 10 out of 10,
if
right?
If you go out today, wherever sure, you're going, yeah. You're going to the pharmacy.
We're all dreamy.
First 10 girls you see today, Eric, do that survey.
And say attractive or not?
Yeah.
All right, I'll text
you. Get back to us.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how
you're probably going to go. It'll probably go 0 for 10 today.
That's not true. I don't even know how we got in
from
that.
Cakes' rabbit. Couch.
Oh,
silly
yeah.
couch, and I bought like
you're
fixated on his couch.
Is there any way, Cakes, we can change the location for one show? I'm going to change my location for one show.
No, I have. There's too many lights. There's too many moving parts.
I'm going to move.
Oh, just for one show.
Yeah, I'm going to move my Comrex, my lights. Everything.
The cord for the Comrex that is like 8 feet long.
Cakes.
Like, I don't have a billion outlets where I can plug it in.
Right. Well, neither do I. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to order that stuff, and I'm going to do a show from the fire pit, hopefully next week. I can't forget to wait. Now, I'll be a little bit smaller because I want to get the fire
well,
in
what
the
are you
shot.
Gonna do? Where's your router going to be?
I have two. I have one in my...
Oh, you have one that's
kitchen.
Accessible?
So I'm just going to run like a 100-foot line into it. And
I'm
going to
keep doing the show with my casting couch and my Brooks Like jersey behind me. That's where I'm doing the show from.
I'm bored of this.
Okay, I'm not Survivor where I'm going to be in a different location every season. I'm right here, right now.
I try to move my camera all the way around because I'm just bored.
What about the mic stand? You're not going to bring that mic.
You're
just going to use the one that the station gave you?
I guess. Yeah,
I can't believe
use that number.
I can't believe JP is still
I can actually
holding
hold
his
this
mic.
One.
JP's still holding his mic. Getting the mic stand, it improved my life by a billion.
Yeah, but
instead of having to hold that stupid thing all the time.
JP's an alien. He probably thinks it's exercise.
What, like holding
it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the mic stand.
He's more comfortable.
First of all,
if I could show you my little setup, I don't have like a great. I don't have a desk.
We
I don't
can
even
tell.
Know how to describe what I have. What I have the laptop on. So yeah. I don't really have a place to put my legs. I kind of got to shift around, and there's. It's not a big deal to hold the mic. I don't understand the problem.
It just looks
doesn't
hard.
Bother me.
No, I don't care. You do whatever you want to do. I actually could hold this mic if I want, and I have a bunch of stands. I got a bunch of
stands. I have a stand if it's,
No, do what you
it's
do,
make you,
you
feel
bro.
Better.
Doesn't make me feel better. Do you? Well, make me feel better probably is if it wasn't so echoey from your room. But you're doing it from a dance studio.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Office/studio.
Right. Yeah.
All right, it's so we've got good. Bobby Carpenter next.
It's all good, boys.
Bobby Carpenter.
Yeah, Bobby
is he calling games for OSU? Is that what he does? And he's got a radio show out there?
He does a radio show.
He does a radio show. Yeah.
Yeah, so he knows all the guys. He knows all the Buckeyes.
Used to be on ESPN, right?
Right.
He was a first-round pick, wasn't he?
Well, he definitely played in the league. Remember that?
He was a first-round pick.
He was a high pick.
So we'll talk NFL draft next with Bobby Carpenter, former Ohio State Buckeye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We have Coach Scotty Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, joining us at 9 o'clock. Right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is a former Ohio State Buckeye. Now you can listen to him on Carpenter and Rothman on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. It is Bobby Carpenter. Hey, Bobby.
How are we doing this morning?
What's up, Bobby? How do you like being described as a former Buckeye? You're always a Buckeye, right? Like, that's not the right way to frame you, is it? Got to make sure about this.
Yeah, that's a topic of contention among many people, and they get upset about the labeling. Like, you don't lose your Buckeye status once you leave. Once you are there, you kind of hold that into perpetuity.
Absolutely. Exactly.
When you were coming at, Bobby, when you were coming out of Lancaster High School in Lancaster O, how many offers? What were the top five offers you had, and did you ever consider another school other than the Ohio State University?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really like a big Ohio State fan growing up. From my dad playing, I kind of followed guys that he knew, different teams, and he wasn't a huge Ohio State fan. That's not where he went. So, if you look at it, like, I took visits to Northwestern. His best friend in college was the coach there, Randy Walker. So, visit there, visit North Carolina, Michigan State, a lot of places in the Big Ten, Midwest.
Right.
And thought about maybe going down to Florida too.
Huh. So why ultimately Ohio State?
They had a really good recruiting class. It was close to home. I had 3 younger brothers. I wanted to watch them play. So that factored in a lot to it. And, I liked Jim Tressel. He's just gotten the job, and I thought he was going to do some big things.
So, obviously, the draft coming up has been huge for us, right? It's something for us to concentrate on, and I can't believe that it's going to be here tomorrow. A bunch of Ohio State guys are going to be selected early. The Redskins, presumably, would be interested in certainly 2 of them. We all think they're going to go Chase Young, but kind of give us your breakdown of each one of those guys, of Chase, Okuda, and of course, who was the 3rd one, Jason? I can't even remember.
From Ohio State?
Yeah, there's always a bunch of them, but kind of give us your breakdown of those 2.
When you look at the top, I mean, from where Washington would be sitting in the first round, it definitely would be Chase Young and Jeffrey Okuda.
Right.
And the thing with Chase that's really nice is he's a plug-and-play guy. Like, you don't have to be a genius as a defensive coordinator to figure out how to use him. You put him on the edge, you know, sit there and let him go. And, you know, I think he's, you know, 10- to 12-year guy and should probably average about 10 sacks a season, if not more. Like, he's that talented. He's that talented when he got to Ohio State. On top of that, he's a really great kid. Like, you take away the athleticism, the explosion, his ability to bend, his strength. Like, he's really honed in his technique, which has helped a lot. But the reason why he did that, like, he comes from a really good family. He's got great parents. There's a history. There's a great piece on NFL.com that talked about it, which I didn't even fully understand, like, the depth of it. But I think his family, you know, between his grandparents, his aunts, uncles, parents, they have, like, 144 years in some form of law enforcement. And so, like, he's a very disciplined kid. He's worked his butt off. He could have been a first-round draft pick if he just would have showed up at college, spent 3 years there and walked out. But he chose to get better, and that's why a lot of people view him as the best player in the draft. And then Jeffrey Okuda, very similar, like, has all the tangible stuff you're looking for, but also a great kid. Really, really high-quality human being. Another guy that's really easy for a defensive coordinator to use. He's 6'1", he's 205, 210 pounds. He can run really well. He's got length. He has good ball skills. He's a willing tackler. You can just put him over there, a corner, and let him go. And so, like, those two guys, very, very easy to deal with, as opposed to a guy like Isaiah Simmons, who's incredibly talented at Clemson, really, really skilled, can do a ton of things. But you put some onus on a defensive coordinator to say, hey, you have to have a plan for how to use him. Not that that's a bad thing, but you have to have continuity in your defense, and you have to make sure you bring him along and use him in the way that's best, or else you're just driving a Porsche through a school zone. Like, those two guys you can just throw on the edge and let them go.
Right. Yeah, we've been having this discussion over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, I'm not a true Redskin fan like the guy who just asked you that question about the Ohio State kids. But, and you know, I understand that there are holes to fill with this Washington Redskin team. And some guys are convinced that to trade out of the number two to acquire two or three or four players is what this team needs. But I don't believe there's a deal out there. I mean, you'd have to blow me away to give up on Chase Young. That's just the way I feel after watching him, especially this past year.
You know, and I don't think you're wrong in saying that. People always say, yeah, trade back. Well, you have to have somebody that's willing to trade up with you. And then where are those picks? I'm not trading back for two picks. Like, that's not going to get it done. Like, and everyone's throwing out Miami. It's just an easy comparison. Like, 5-18, that's not getting it done for me. I need to pick a high pick in the second round for what I believe Chase Young is worth. And so, yeah, you could trade back. Heck, you could trade back at 5 and just take the 5th pick. But you need more compensation than that. That's the point. And I don't know if Miami's going to do that. I think they're playing probably a little game of chicken right now. They may trade up with Detroit, especially when you look at Chase Young. I was talking with a scout, you know, who does a great job, and he asked me a question because he goes, it came up in our meeting where he said, would you be more surprised if Chase Young broke the single-season sack record or never had 10 sacks in a season? And I said I would definitely be more surprised if he never had 10 sacks in a season, because I think that's a guy that's the type of production that you're going to get from him.
Do you believe that Chase Young is an instant success? Bosa was an instant success. All right, Bosa was a stud in college. You obviously saw him a bunch. And he was an instant success helping the Niners get to the Super Bowl. Do you believe that Young, and Young's bigger than that guy, compare the two in terms of, you know, Young is 6'5 and Bosa isn't, but compare the speed, compare their techniques. Do you believe he's on that same level coming out?
You know, Chase and Nick have said this, both of us just have, like, where Chase is probably a little more athletic than those guys, and that's not diminishing how athletic they are. Chase just possesses a rare athleticism for his size, and Chase is a little bigger. I think the Boses were a little more polished coming out because they were more polished going in to college. They were a little bit ahead of that, you know, given their family history and, you know, how skilled and developed they were getting to school. You know, but the reason why Nick was an instant success is he had a great defensive line that he was able to come into. And so there weren't, and he granted, he started drawing double teams at the end of the season and even by the middle of the season, but you could not just double him every play because of the talent around him. If Chase is drafted into Washington, I would say that I think he will be an instant success, because if you look at the other rushers around him, there's not the ability just to load up on one guy, because you can always take one pass rusher out of the game. but you can't take two or three of them out, and that's what Washington has, similar to what San Fran had last season.
So can you touched on it there a little bit in terms of being polished. No player's perfect, and he's a young player, so obviously he's going to have his struggles. What are the things that Chase is going to have to work on at the next level?
And so, you know, it's something that, you know, I'd watched, and Nick touched on this a lot because he was asked to give an evaluation of him. It's just the fact that he probably doesn't use convert to his power rush as much as you'd like. And part of the reason is in college is he's never had to do it. He's so fast and so athletic that he can get around guys without moving and or without having to use that much. In the NFL, that's not the case. Like, there's going to be guys that are more athletic. And it's not that he doesn't have it. He has the strength, but it's just going to be the feel of learning, hey, I've got to convert to power more here. I have to make sure I'm setting guys up a little bit better. And it's just a little bit of the game within the game that comes with experience. And I think, you know, Nick Bosa was a little bit further ahead of him than that just due to his dad and his brother and making sure that he had the full repertoire that he was using early on. And I think Chase has just been able to get away without using, even though he has it in his bag.
All right, let's play the hypothetical game, all right? I think there's about a 1% chance that they're trading out of that two spot, but let's just say it happens, and let's just say it's with Miami, and they drop down to five. So the Skins have the fifth pick. Young will be gone. Let's assume Okuda's gone. Who would you be focused on at five? Would it be an Isaiah Simmons? Would it be C.J. Henderson? Would it be, you know, Derek Brown? Or would it be Tua? Now, you're probably a Haskins guy because he's a Buckeye, but would you look at Tua at five? Do you think Tua can be more successful than Dwayne?
If someone traded up, that would imply that someone traded up to draft Justin Herbert, which would mean that I'm not sure exactly what they would be thinking doing that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big gap between Tua and Justin Herbert as far as skill. Now, obviously, Tua has the injury issues. And you said, like, jokingly, I'm a Dwayne Haskins fan. Like, Dwayne Haskins throws the football about as well as anybody I've ever seen as far as arm talent-wise. I know he struggled a little bit early on in the season, but if you look at his last four games and what he was able to do once they had some continuity, I mean, heck, at the beginning of the year, he was playing for a coach that didn't want him, really. And so I don't know how you would give up on a guy that early. Like, I think Tua is really good and has a ton of ability. I don't think there's a huge gap between Tua's ability and Dwayne's ability. And then you factor in that Dwayne's been pretty healthy his entire career, and Tua obviously has these injury concerns of whether or not he'll be able to stay healthy at the next level. And that's real. Right. And so there is not a scenario where I would take, if I was Washington, taking a quarterback anywhere in the top five. If you're sitting back and someone's still available later, and you know, if Tua's available at the top of the second round, all right, then I think you take a flyer on the guy. But I just think that Dwayne is too good, and I saw too much of him last year to believe he can be successful in the NFL to bail on a rookie quarterback just after 1 year.
What do you think of Haskins' own maturity level and that sort of thing? Because I think most people agree with your assessment, certainly of the physical talent, but some people kind of question the maturity a little bit. And listen, we're, you know, what is he, 20, 21 years old, whatever it is. We were all immature at that age. Maybe it's probably unfair, but I just, your take, did you like him? Where do you think he is in terms of that, in terms of maturity and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, I guess you could look at it like this. The coaches at Ohio State chose him over the presumptive number one pick this season,
right?
And the guy who won the Heisman Trophy. And so, you know, is Dwayne Haskins Tom Brady as a guy who's the second year as a starter? No. I don't know if there is any quarterback that is going to be, especially now, like, and people compare this era, is like, you're getting a different kid now. Like, that's just the reality of it. Given the influences, how they grew up, the impact of social media, like, you're not drafting Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Like, those guys don't really exist anymore with how they were raised, because like, these guys were raised differently. So, you know, I try not to be the old guy, get off my lawn. Like, that's not the type of leadership that I saw, and that's not the type of leader that I always, you know, wanted to see. And it's just guys are different now given the different experiences. The teams are different because the players and how they respond to things are different. You're dealing with a different type of person. And so I think older people probably look at Dwayne and say, well, it's not really – the leadership isn't there. I always leaned on guys' teammates. And I would – you know, I talked to – you know, guys at Ohio State. I talked to guys, you know, I talked to Terry McLaurin about him. Like, guys in the locker room seem to really like him, and they seem to think that he's got what it takes. And I don't think there's a rift there where they think this guy's a flake and we can't trust him. And so if that's the case, like, I'm going to err on the side of what his teammates believe, not what someone on the outside would say.
We're joined by Bobby Carpenter at bcarp3 on Twitter. He's half of Carpenter and Rothman in Columbus on 97.1 The Fan. Bobby, outside of Tua, give me a guy in the top 15 or 20 that if you were an NFL GM, you're tantalized by his talent, but you're worried. There are a few red flags with this guy that he might not be worthy of like a top 15, top 20 pick.
You know, it's interesting because you brought up Derrick Brown, and like, I've seen him all over the place. As far as, you know, his ability is great. He's got extreme explosion. His pass rush moves maybe doesn't necessarily have, you know, the full complement, like with the quickness. He's got unbelievable power. If he's there later, you know, I think that you definitely would jump on him. I mean, I think he could go as high as 5 or 6. I think he could also be around, you know, at 12, 13, 14, 15. And then another guy, you know, partially, you know, he had the dilute sample, failed test at the combine. And this, you know, is something that Washington could be in the market for. I don't think he'd be there in the second round. They may have to trade up to get him. But Mekhi Becton, the tackle out of Louisville, the guy's 275 pounds, 6'7". You know, he ran a 5'2", 5'140". Like, he's an unbelievable athlete.
Right.
Has great athleticism. Pretty high-quality character kid from what most people have said. You know, like I said, like going back to the drug test, the NFL is changing their policies on all that stuff anyway. But, you know, especially if you're Washington and you're trying to move off of Trent Williams, this could be a guy I think that you could plug and play as long as you keep everything under control with his weight and continue to develop his athleticism and skill.
Bobby, I wanted to get your opinion on the Patriots because you were with the Patriots, I guess, just for a short while. I don't know if it was more than a couple of months. But you did play under Bill Belichick there for a couple months. What are your expectations with New England this season?
You know, I was up there my last season, and it's different than everywhere else. I would be shocked if the Patriots are under 500. Got a couple of friends up on the team who I've talked to, and this isn't like a talking point that's coming out, and this is their analysis of what they believe. I mean, they were very high on Jared Stidham and what he was able to do. And you're comparing him to Tom Brady in practice. I know Stidham, obviously, you know, he had some film that wasn't the greatest, but they said the way the ball comes out of his hand, his ability to get through progressions, he's not Tom, and he's not a guy who's won 6 Super Bowls. But like, he's got a ton of ability. Mm-hmm. And so I would be shocked, and especially Bill Belichick, just finds ways to win games. He just wears teams down until they make mistakes. And so that division is incredibly strong. I would be stunned if they don't win at least 8, probably 9 games, and you're talking about them in the playoff hunt.
Hmm. What's your opinion on Gronk going to Tampa, real quick?
You know, I think he's got a little bit left in the tank. I think he's just – New England wears on people. It's kind of different. Those guys have been there for a long time, and Gronk needed a year off to charge his batteries. I don't think he's, you know, the Gronk of 5 years ago, but I think he can be a really good player, especially with how they're going to probably utilize him in the offense. He'll probably have 50 catches. He'll block. He'll do everything, and he'll be an outlet for Tom. I really like the move. I think it's important to get veteran guys who have won, especially in a team that doesn't really have a history of winning, so I love it.
Hmm. All right, Bobby, appreciate the time. That's
good
our
stuff.
Pal Bobby Carpenter.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, bro.
Part of the Carpenter and Rothman Show on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. And Cakes is right. He's always a Buckeye. He's a former Buckeyes linebacker. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But he's always a Buckeye. And he certainly got all those guys back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's defending all those guys. And probably rightfully so.
I was going to say you might hear him again from 12 to 3 on Saturday, but I guess the timeline wouldn't fit because he's talking about what teams would do in the draft, and that would already have been completed, so... I'm just looking for time fillers.
Right.
Hey, just keep your draft brain sharp for the mock tomorrow. Right.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready for that.
On the junks.
I'll have 17 different mock drafts pulled up in front of me.
You're going to be on the spot.
Yeah.
All right, remember, we got Coach Scott Brooks from the Wizards coming up at 9 o'clock right here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, coming up at 9 a.m., we'll check in with Wizards head coach Scott Brooks as he is quarantining, if that's a word, out on the West Coast.
I think he's
up to.
I can't stop eating this morning.
I can't stop eating!
I usually have cereal right around 7, and then some point in the show I'll go up and get a granola bar. And then my three-year-old came down and brought me some food. And then I had that. Now I think I've had two granola bars. Not like it's anything huge, but I just, you know, it's just one of those days where I can see myself just kind of snacking throughout the day.
You've described the entire pandemic for me. I can't stop eating. That's all I'm doing.
How much have you eaten so far today?
So far today, not much. No, just actually the cereal and coffee. But, like, during the day, I just snack, like JP says. I just sit around because you're just bored. I walk around the house. My kids always say to me, what are you doing? I go, I'm pacing. So if I'm inside the house, I'm just sort of pacing.
If golfing was permitted in MD, would you be out playing a couple times a week?
No, probably not like you.
But once a week? Once a week you would.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to – there's nothing wrong with playing golf, but I'm trying to role model to my kids that we're supposed to stay home. Even though there's an exception to play golf, and I think it's fine, it would be kind of a double standard if I was out playing golf and then I told them, you know, I really don't want you to go to a park even if you're going to be 6 feet away. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. I'm just trying to do the right thing as a parent.
Are you allowed to golf in Maryland at a private club, or is it just the Publix that are closed?
I believe they're all closed.
I think technically they're all closed, but you can find ways to get out there on the privates.
I'm sure there are.
I mean, my buddy owns two of them, you know, and we've talked about it. We just go out there and play, but I mean,
I don't even know. Are the pins in some of these clubs? If the pins are in.
Yeah. They are.
You just walk on and you just play 18. Now you won't have a cart. You just walk.
Are the pins not in where you're playing? I think that's outrageous.
No, the pins are in. I'm just saying, are the flags? Are the actual flags out?
Oh, no. If they're closed, the pins aren't in. No.
Okay, so then you're firing at nothing. You're firing at just empty space.
You're just firing the middle of the green.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that guys are finding ways to get out there on privates.
Yeah, I'm sure. guys are finding ways to get on fields. I mean, you know, that want to get workouts in.
Yeah.
Everything.
I've seen a good amount of people still playing tennis.
I think you should be able to play tennis, especially with family. Like, my wife and I play tennis.
Right.
So why all can't the tennis I courts play in tennis my, with my wife? In my neighborhood are all chained up.
They
Did
are.
Did you guys watch the video of the rooftop tennis in
Italy? I thought that was so cool. Those girls must be professional college players.
They have
players.
To be great players.
They were fantastic.
I would lose my balls in about 2 minutes.
Let me check that out.
You would need 9 sleeves of balls
to
play for 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, clearly it was a bit, but it was brilliant. I doubt they're doing that routinely.
Where was this?
It was in Italy.
Oh, okay.
Italy. It says put in tennis on rooftop Italy.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. And they look like they're pretty far away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably
that's
not.
That's my point. I would, like, you just, the first forehand, you got to be able to land on the other building.
The girls are really good.
Oh, it's impressive.
The girls are really good. Very cool. And yeah, you've seen videos like that, again, lacrosse, I've seen where people, like, on their decks, you know, passing to each other. But I talked about this. I'll bring it up with you guys. Do you think this is cool? I think it's doable. Like, for private lessons in lacrosse. Like, my son is telling me, like, I need to work with Coach so-and-so. I need to work with, you know, I need to get out there. Like, he's tired of just me, you know, feeding the balls. Mm-hmm. And why can't he go out there and get a lesson with a coach? You say 6 feet away. They wear gloves and a helmet. And, you know, coach feeds him balls and tells him what to do or whatever. But Stevie's wearing a glove and helmet. And
I think that's doable.
And he's 6 feet away. He's totally doable. I think it's totally doable.
You can have a socially distant lacrosse lesson.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have 20 people out there, but if it's one-on-one.
Right, like a one-on-one private.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
you probably could do a golf lesson that way, too, just thinking out loud, right? Mm-hmm. Your golf instructor stands 6 feet away from you, 6, 8 feet, whatever, and just talk you through whatever, hitting balls.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
We got to be able to get back into that. So even if we're still in this sort of pandemic mode and this thing is still kind of terrifying.
There's flexibility.
We have to be able to utilize and social distancing, but still do stuff.
I scaled back on my golf lessons during the pandemic.
You did?
You know,
yeah.
Like, because we took a haircut. So I was like, you know what?
Right.
The first thing to go, golf lessons. Short game, work at your putting, all that.
Right.
Just out the window.
But you're going to get back into it once it's
all
clear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A full swing.
Right, twice a week, right?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll be sure to do
that. I can't wait. I've mentioned this before. I can't wait to hear. Supposedly I'm going to get word this week on if the company that I've been talking to, it wants to follow through on the hot tub. And if they don't, I'm going to put it out there again next week.
And grasp.
So I'm not trying to hold them hostage or anything.
Feelers.
But I'm ready to get going on this. I'm tired of having an empty deck, an empty patio. So we're going to start getting going on that. I'm going to help the economy, Cakes.
Yes, you need to jumpstart it.
I'm going to jumpstart the economy a little
bit.
Give
it the paddles.
Do my part. And I want to get, because it's starting to get to be that time. Like, I know you guys say going in the hot tub is great when it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's great maybe when it's like 65, 70 for me. That's great. So we're getting ready over here.
I'm going to actually have some guys from Van Meter, some of their workers, come over to the house next Thursday and power wash the screened-in porch and the patio.
Beautiful.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I will pay them, obviously, cash per hour.
Yeah.
Can help them out, but that way I don't have to do it. Because it's a pain in the butt to move all the furniture off of the screened-in porch, take it all the way down to the patio,
right.
Power wash, and then carry it all back up. Not doing that.
No,
I got a little.
Did it last year, and it was a pain in the arse.
I got a little. I lost a little of my zeal for the idea of like getting my own power washer. When somebody said you really need to kind of scrub it first, or just the power washing is not going to do a good enough job. And then I was like, well, I'm not going to get up. What am I going to get up there on a ladder and scrub?
No,
my Van Meter guys can come over to your house and do it.
How much do they want for that?
We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
one of my neighbors behind me has. A kid up in a ladder in one of his trees. I mean, this kid has to be, he's got to be 25 feet off the ground, like sawing down tree limbs.
Oh, really?
It looks very treacherous. Yeah.
No, I got tree guys that he's dying to come over and work for me, but the order, I guess maybe they've been deemed non-essential. Mm. So I think by the letter of the law, he can't come in there and friggin' cut down my trees and prune some of these trees.
Oh, I think tree guys are butt essential. Like last week when the storm blew through here.
Yeah.
And
well, that's 50, true.
50 trees were uprooted.
Well, that's
near
true.
My neighborhood.
That's
those
essential.
Guys are super essential.
Well, maybe not for pruning my trees. And
right.
I got a couple I need to get cut down, like smaller-ish ones.
Yeah.
And
but
he told
Cakes,
me
you don't even have any Rollins in your backyard, right?
Zero tree Rollins.
Yeah.
But I always worry about my neighbor's big-ass trees falling into my yard,
right.
destroying my ancient fence, which needs an upgrade. You know what? That might be the best thing that could happen to me.
Right.
A tree falls, destroys my fence, and then the insurance company would buy me a brand new silly.
How many right. screamings
do you
have? I
should be rooting for that. Zero. I have one on my property.
Yeah, screaming.
I have one screaming. That's a good reference.
All right.
On my entire property. It's
I don't
a big, giant pine tree. Screaming trees. Like a grunge band from like I want to say '90s into the early 2000s.
Yeah, I got Screaming Trees, but I didn't know what it was.
They had a hit on the single soundtrack, Nearly Lost.
Nearly
You.
Lost. You've heard that song a billion times.
It's so
times.
Good. It's very
the
good.
Single soundtrack.
And I love Jason's reference.
Yeah, right.
But I have one tree. That's it. That's all
but
I got.
Here's the thing. I decided. So when I initially talked to my tree guys. And I was saying, this is what I want to get done. I wanted him to get all that wood out of there. Now I'm going to tell him I want it all chopped up and left at my house.
Yes.
Because I'm going to burn it, cakes.
Burn it.
Did right. you buy your axe?
No, because I don't think I need an axe. I've determined that I need a chainsaw. And here's the thing. I can't just get – my brother fell into this problem. Remember, I have one tree. It's called an ironwood. He went through three chainsaws trying to get that thing down. It's the hardest wood. It's like concrete.
You should cut it down and put it in your golf bag. You have right. an ironwood? You have a hybrid.
It's a huge – and I've got huge chunks of it. So I need like a industrial strength chainsaw to chop it up more.
All right, coming up next, Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, join us to kind of fill us in on what's going on the NBA perspective and more. Keep it here. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.